All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I'm giving you my reaction to the Falcons' day two selections of safety Richie Grant and guard Jalen Mayfield, as well as getting an interview with potential 2021 draft pick out of San Diego State, safety Tariq Thompson.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So guys, you know me, I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com, RIP, still going strong, however, on Twitter at FalcFans, and of course, the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And today's episode of Locked On Falcons is brought to you by Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Get your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T by texting DRAFT to 231231. So today we have a special Saturday, relatively rare Saturday episode on the Locked On Falcons podcast, but during draft weekend, that is the one time where you get these weekend episodes. And today's episode, of course, is reacting to the Falcons' day two selections of safety Richie Grant out of Central Florida and offensive lineman Jalen Mayfield out of Michigan. We'll talk about what I think of those players. We'll also talk about the Falcons adding quarterback AJ McCarron, signing him to on Friday to basically be Matt Ryan's backup. And then I have a special treat for you guys with an interview I had with San Diego State safety prospect, a 2021 draft prospect, and Tariq Thompson, a player that the Falcons have shown some interest in this offseason and may wind up being picked on day three this afternoon, as most of you are listening to this, and we'll see where Tariq goes. But, you know, I think Tariq's a good guy and a player that can certainly make an impact on the NFL, and want to share with you the chat I had with him talking about what he brings to an NFL team, potentially like the Falcons in the future, and got that opportunity earlier this week. So we'll get into that. But let's sort of jump into the Friday non-draft news, and that was the Falcons signing AJ McCarron, the journeyman quarterback, to an undisclosed one-year contract, most likely for the veteran minimum. And this is a solid move for the Falcons because it's a crisis averted. Now the Falcons didn't need to use a day two pick on a quarterback and probably won't use a day three pick on a quarterback. And you wouldn't have me ranting, especially about a day two selection at the quarterback position, which I've previously opined several times is a waste of a draft pick, given the extremely low hit rate of second and third round quarterbacks in the NFL. And my suspicion, now that McCarron is essentially penciled in as QB2 for the Falcons, is that we'll probably see them try to prioritize adding an undrafted free agent Saturday or Sunday over the weekend. And it'll be similar to what they did with Kurt Benkert 3 years ago. He'll come in, he'll compete with McCarron to be Matt Ryan's backup, but more than likely he'll be stashed on the practice squad as the third quarterback for a year with the hopes that he can sort of follow the same trajectory that Benkert was supposed to have, which is a guy that after a year or two could have shown enough growth to overtake Matt Schaub as a QB2. And that never happened with Kurt Benkert because of inconsistency and injuries. But basically at first, if you don't succeed, then try again. So let's get into the Falcons draft news. I don't have anything else to say about AJ McCarron. You know, he's got a lovely wife, but other than that, that's probably the most interesting thing about him. You know, he's got experience. He's started games. He's been a functional starter, as a fill-in backup. And so that's basically what you're looking for the Falcons. Cause you know, you're just basically getting journeyman, from this point on. So, let's move forward, and talk about the Falcons draft picks. Let's talk about Richie Grant, but the Falcons were able to move back five spots, trading back with the Denver Broncos, who moved up to get Javonte Williams at the top of round two. And the Falcons wound up giving up their compensatory draft pick at the end of round six, but they got back Denver's early fourth round pick. And I was hoping the Falcons would do something like this at the top of round two. I thought that spot at 35 was a prime trade up spot, picking third in the second round, where a lot of teams like to come up and get guys that fell out of round one, or where a couple of guys at a position went in round one and the board is thin, similar to seeing both, Najee Harris and Travis Etienne go in round one, and that left Javonte Williams as RB3, and so Denver wanted to come and get him. But the Falcons were able to move back five spots, pick up that fourth round pick, and still get a really good player in Richie Grant. I do like this pick. Some people had Richie Grant rated as their top safety in this draft. I know Dane Brugler over at The Athletic had him as his top safety in this class. I watched the safeties this year. I didn't really love this class overall. I thought there were plenty of guys that if the Falcons were still running the same scheme under Dan Quinn, that cover three scheme, if they were looking for a box safety to sort of be a replacement for Keanu Neal, there were plenty of options for them available. But outside of that type of guy, there weren't a lot of high level options. And what I wanted to see out of this class was someone that could be that versatile, do everything free safety that we've seen in the past be very successful in the DNP's defense, whether we're talking about an Ed Reed, an Eric Weddle, or a Kevin Byard. And I think Richie Grant is arguably the guy that's probably closest to being that type of player. I wouldn't quite put him on those guys' levels with that level of upside, but I certainly see him as a player that could wind up being a very good NFL starter. And we'll probably explore some of this a little bit further in the coming weeks when I eventually get to my scouting report next month of all of these draft picks, including Richie Grant. He's not quite the guy that I would typically grade out as a top 40 selection. He's the type of guy that I think in previous drafts, you know, whether we're going back 5 years or 10 years or whatever, would typically be maybe more of a round four, round five type of draft pick. But the type of guy that because safeties aren't valued that highly, not necessarily that he's a bad player because he's projected in those rounds. It's just safeties is not a premium position by and large for NFL teams, and you can typically still get starting caliber players that late in the draft. But he would be the type of guy that I think would get drafted in round four or five and wind up far out playing his draft status. You know, when you look back at him 5 years later, a guy like Byard is a good example of that. He was a third round pick. It's an all pro, one of the top safeties in the league. The player that Richie Grant kind of reminded me of was like Jimmy Ward, who was a first round pick. Ward was interesting because I thought he was a little underrated when people talked about that 2019 San Francisco 49ers defense during their Super Bowl run. And what had happened that year, I thought was pivotal to some of their success, was that that was really the first healthy season that Jimmy Ward had had since being a first round pick way back, I think, in 2013, 2014. And, you know, the pass rush got all the credit for the 49ers' defensive success. And when people talked about the secondary, they immediately talked about guys like Richard Sherman and some of the other corners. But I really thought Jimmy Ward played at a really high level that season and deserved a lot more of the credit for why their secondary, why their back end was so solid that year, in addition to all their play on the front end. Another good player comparison I think you can make with Richie Grant is someone like a Micah Hyde, fifth round pick for the Packers, you know, initially seen as a slot corner in Green Bay, then went to Buffalo as a free agent and became this really good ball hawking deep safety. And that's kind of what I mean when I say Richie Grant can outperform his draft status. He look at a player like Hyde and you're like, how did that guy fall to round five? And I think Hyde similarly is a guy that I don't think you look at the Bills defense and immediately think of him as like, oh, he's one of the top players. He's a star player, but he's been really solid under Sean McDermott, a key part of their defensive success, integral to that success, even if he's not necessarily a household name. And I feel like that's kind of what I expect Grant to become. He can be a good player, a key part of a good defense, but may not necessarily live up to being a household name. The main knock I have on Richie Grant is inconsistency. The first game I saw of his was the Cincinnati game. You can go on YouTube and watch the cut-ups of that. And it's a good example of what I'm talking about. You know, there's a handful of plays that he makes that are outstanding plays. But then there's a handful of plays that he doesn't make where he's out of position. And, you know, shows poor recognition, poor eye discipline, whiffs on the tackle, those sorts of things. But he has that versatility. He lines up all over the place. He can play in the box. He can play deep. He can play cover the slot. So he has that versatility that I think DNP's likes in sort of those interchangeable safeties that could do a lot of different things. And it's why, you know, that Cincinnati game is a good example of why I wouldn't necessarily say I would grade him as a top 40 guy where the Falcons got him, because I would want my safety to have a little bit more good than necessarily the bad that you see in that Cincinnati game. But he's the type of guy that I think a secondary coach would like, no, I love Richie Grant. I want him on my team. That's my guy. And if I was a general manager of a team, I'd be willing to trust that secondary coach's opinion. And so, you know, everything I've heard about Richie Grant in terms of character, leadership, smarts, neck up stuff, from that perspective, he has it. You know, it just needs to sort of be brought out of him at a more consistent level. And I think when you have a coordinator like Dean Pease, a good secondary coach like John Hoke, who, if you can just disregard the Chris Conte situation, you know, generally has gotten solid to good safety play over his years in the stops in Chicago and Tampa Bay. And so I feel like, you know, Grant could be maximized here in Atlanta and be a really good player, but may not necessarily be considered on the level of like the Justin Simmons and the Kevin Byards as these like perennial Pro Bowl all-star guys, but certainly a key part of the Falcons defensive success going forward. So yeah, I think Hyde, Ward are the types of guys that we're looking at Richie Grant in terms of what my expectations are of him. Certainly, again, as I said, I think he can exceed those expectations and be better than those guys. But that's kind of where I'm looking at in terms of, at least off my initial film study, where my sort of eye level is for where he's going to be as an NFL pro. So we'll continue today's episode, talk about the Falcons' third round pick in Jalen Mayfield, where I will not be as positive on that selection, just to warn you guys up front. But before we get into that, I want to let you guys know that today's episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. They're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only at BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10 by 10. This collection features high quality fine jewelry that will surprise and delight. It's fairly priced, so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. I checked these out myself. I like the ones that are both classic and traditional, but also you have a good healthy mix of modern elegant rings too. If you're on the hunt for perfect unique ring that she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10 by 10 only at BlueNile.com. So Falcons fans, you got to listen up. Nugenix is the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC and is offering a complimentary bottle to all football fans in America. To get your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, text DRAFT to 231231. This unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone and total testosterone levels, increasing energy and lean muscle mass. If you're over 40 or like me approaching 40, don't let age get in the way. Get your edge back with Nugenix. Plus, text now and they'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back into shape absolutely free. Text DRAFT to 231231. That's DRAFT to 231231. Message and data rates may apply. So let's talk about the Falcons' selection of Michigan offensive tackle Jalen Mayfield, and who's probably going to play guard for the Falcons. And I'll be upfront with you guys, I'm not a fan of this pick. You know, Mayfield played right tackle for Michigan, got hurt this past year, so he only has 15 career starts, basically was a one-year starter for them, essentially, with one full season there. I don't think he has much of a chance to play tackle in the NFL. And I'm not saying this to be negative, but I'm just saying it to be emphatic, because a year ago I warned everybody, hey, I don't think Matt Hennessy has what it takes to cut it as a guard. Nobody listened to me. We watched him get wrecked as a guard. And I'm like, he's a center through and through. I know there's going to be a lot of people that are Caleb McGarry haters out there that want to believe that, oh, Mayfield's going to be a potential replacement option for him there. And I'm just going to say that all the things that you hate about Caleb McGarry are amplified with Jalen Mayfield. We can get into the details of that when we do our scouting report next month of him. But trust me when I say this, guys, he's not a tackle. He would get absolutely annihilated as a tackle there. So just basically picture Caleb McGarry's worst games, worst plays that you've seen over the last 2 years. That's basically what Jalen Mayfield's going to be every single week. So get the whole tackle notion out of your brain. Now with that out of the way, let's talk about how his skill set applies to the guard. I don't know if he has the skill set to be a high-level guard. He tested poorly. He's probably a better athlete than his numbers indicated. He can climb to the second level. He can make those reach blocks that you're looking for as a guard in the outside zone scheme. Not as consistent as you want. He's not that heat-seeking missile, but he can hit enough of those assignments. He can move well enough to hit enough of those assignments that he can be capable there. But he's raw in a lot of ways. I'm not going to get, again, not too deep into it, because I want to save that to the scouting report, and it'll just wind up being me rattling off a laundry list of negatives. I think his best assets are toughness, tenacity, mean streak, physicality. He brings a certain demeanor to the Falcons' offensive line He's the type of player that I think offensive line coaches typically classically fall in love with because they want that sort of toughness and tenacity. Like, we want to establish an identity up front, and this guy's the embodiment of this. And you'll see this type of guy often get chance after chance in the league, but not necessarily take full advantage of it. You know, and he reminds me of players that I remember watching when I was evaluating players, you know, 10, 15 years ago, that back when the NFL, you know, in the early 2000s, when the NFL was much more of a run-based league than the passing league that it's commonly known as, and you had most of the D tackles are these big 300-plus pound run pluggers, that Jalen Mayfield was the type of guard that could make it in that league. But nowadays, in today's NFL, with the quality of pass rushing D tackles, the guys that have the power, the quickness, and you're not just getting, you know, these run plugging guys, you're getting guys that are true dynamic disruptors, I think he's going to struggle a lot more in 2021 than he would have struggled in, say, 2001. You know, a player that he's reminiscent of is a former Michigan tackle, right tackle, and Michael Schofield. Schofield was the right tackle at Michigan when Taylor Lewan was the left tackle there. Schofield has been a starter for 4 out of the last 6 years in the NFL since being a third-round pick with the Broncos. He's serviceable. He's played guard. He's played tackle. But these last couple of years, you know, after he got pushed aside in Denver after his second or third year, he's kind of been this journeyman with the Chargers and Panthers these last couple of years. And it's telling to me that he's played for teams like the Chargers and Panthers who have been bad offensive lines these last couple of years. It basically, Michael Schofield is a litmus test that says he's good enough to start on a bad offensive line, but he's not good enough to start on a good offensive line. And I feel like Schofield's a better prospect than Mayfield. He's bigger, longer, stronger, more athletic than Mayfield is. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say that Mayfield's ceiling is being a Michael Schofield type, but I do think that's probably one of his better outcomes. If I was to compare him to a previous Falcons guard that you guys are somewhat familiar with, the player I would compare him to is Brandon Fusco. But again, Fusco was a much better athlete than Mayfield is. I just don't really see the upside with Mayfield. To me, this is a reach. You know, I'm not sure what my final grade is going to be when I come out with my scouting report, but my initial impression is this the type of guy that I would feel fine with drafting in round 5 or later. But before that, I would have a lot of more questions. He's just raw. He's unrefined. You know, I don't know if he's going to have much of a chance to come in and compete right away at this left guard position. To me, he's a project that doesn't have a ton of upside. He's the type of guy similar to a Wes Schweitzer type that I wouldn't have a problem stashing for a year. And in a few years with some development could turn into a functional, capable starter. But again, I think Schweitzer is arguably a better athlete than he is, or at least a better fit in this outside zone scheme than Mayfield is. Now, we know the Falcons have a hole at left guard. I wanted someone that could be a plug and play starter. I felt like Quinn Meinerz, the kid out of Wisconsin Whitewater that rocked the Senior Bowl despite playing at a Division III level, would have been a great fit. He wound up going several picks later to the Broncos in round 3. So that's part of it. It's not just simply, oh, they didn't take the guy that I wanted, but I just felt like Quinn Meinerz checked all the boxes that the Falcons were looking for a potential plug-and-play guy that could come in day one and potentially compete at the highest level. So I say all this, I know I'm going to get pushback. I always do when I'm not high on a Falcons draft pick. But I will say this, and again, I'm not saying this to toot my own horn, not out of arrogance, but you know, since Peter Kahn's in 2012, my hit rate on offensive linemen, I'm not batting 1,000, but it's really high. I think longtime listeners know it's really high when it comes to this stuff. And, you know, watched 4 games of his, so it's not a complete study. I watched 2 games he played in 2020 before he got hurt, Minnesota and Michigan State, 2019, Ohio State and Alabama, because I wanted to see him against high-level competition. The Minnesota game this past year was pretty solid, and that was the game I saw earlier this winter when I initially was going a run-through on the offensive lineman because I was hearing him getting like late first-round, second-round type of buzz. And I was like, I watched like half of that game, and I was like, yeah, I could see him being a decent right tackle from watching that game. Then I watched the Michigan State game going up against a little better competition, wasn't as clean. And then going back to 2019, watching him, you know, he was getting wrecked against Chase Young in a game, and I've seen it floating around Twitter from a couple of people saying like, oh yeah, he shut down Chase Young, or he played really well against Chase Young. And I'm just like, I don't know what game you guys are watching. Chase Young was killing them in that game. Now maybe Chase Young only ended up having like 2 or 3 pressures in that game or something like that. But like, you know, Mayfield was hanging on for dear life. So I remember, I think I was listening to an episode of Dane Brugler and Lance Zierlein's Prospect to Pros podcast earlier this offseason. They were talking about guys that they didn't quite see it. And I want to say Lance Zierlein, who does specialize in offensive line evaluations, I want to say that he mentioned Jalen Mayfield as a guy that he was not as high on as the rest of the world was. And I came out of watching those four games being like, yeah, if that's what Lance was saying, I get it. You know, and so right now I still have major concerns at the Falcons left guard. I'm just not seeing it with Jalen Mayfield. You know, my hope right now is Matt Gano is going to make a big jump, or the Falcons, when they free up the cap space that they need to sign the rookies, may have enough space left over to bring in at least some mid-level veteran, maybe even a guy like a Michael Schofield to come in and compete and at least give the Falcons another option. Because right now, if Jalen Mayfield, because of being a third round pick, is being penciled in as a potential week one starter for the Falcons, I have major concerns about the interior of this offensive line with him potentially starting next to Matt Hennessy. You know, we can get into it further, but if we had gotten Jalen Mayfield in round four at like 108 or 114, probably wouldn't be as down on this pick, but picking where we got him, I feel like that's a major reach. I feel like he was picked probably two rounds too early in this draft. So not feeling great about that pick. I know I'm going to get some pushback because people are going to say, Aaron, you don't know these coaching staff. Give them the benefit of the doubt. And look, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm just not seeing it. So maybe I'm just completely aloof. But again, my track record with offensive linemen is really, really good. So usually if I'm not seeing it, there's nothing to see. But we'll see. I'll watch more games and maybe I'll come away a little bit higher on him than I did watching those four games that I've seen so far. So, you know, looking ahead to day three of the draft later this afternoon, as many of you are listening to it, the Falcons do have six picks. They have 2/4 at the very beginning of round four. They have 3/5, including 2 compensatory picks. And they have a 6th round pick at the beginning of round 6 as well. And so that's 6 picks. You know, my guess is that you'll probably see one of these 4th round picks at the beginning of round 4 be used on a running back. And then I kind of think the rest of them will be defensive picks. And maybe that includes an edge rusher. You'll probably get at least one corner. We might get a 2nd safety. And I think that brings us to where we will end today's episode, talking with San Diego State safety Tariq Thompson, who I think, you know, has a chance to be drafted late today. And if not, he'll certainly be a priority free agent, a guy I think certainly can contribute at the next level and maybe could be an option for the Falcons if they're looking for a 3rd safety. Typically, Dean Pease likes that 3rd safety, whether it was an Amani Hooker or others in Baltimore, to be more that deep coverage guy. And I think Thompson could potentially be a better fit there than maybe even guys like Jalen Hawkins and TJ Green, you know, and certainly Eric Harris, just because Eric Harris is not a deep safety. So, you know, Thompson could be a guy that if the Falcons were to get him either as with a draft pick or as an undrafted free agent, I do think would have a chance to come in and earn a spot here in Atlanta. I know the Falcons have shown some interest to him, as well as the other San Diego State guys, because his secondary coach is the son of John Hoke, who is the Falcons' secondary coach. And, you know, you guys know John Hoke's brother, Brady Hoke, was the former coach of San Diego State. I don't know if he's currently the head coach of San Diego State, but also at Michigan as well. So we'll get into that coming up on today's episode of Lockdown Falcons to wrap things up. And if I sound a little bit loopy, it's because I'm late up recording these episodes. You probably noticed at the end of yesterday's episode that I had an outtake, but there was like a 4 minutes gap between the end of the episode and that outtake. And that was just because, you know, I got a little loopy there recording these episodes at the end of the night, 2 a.m. And what happens is you just don't get enough protein and energy into your brain. And what I need to do is I need to take care of business by checking out Built Bars, the best tasting protein bar on the market. They come in great flavors, 100% real chocolate. So they taste like candy bar. I got my coconut brownie chunks, you know, next to me, ready to go in case I get a little bit loopy on today's episode. And you guys can check these out too. Built Bars aren't just tasty, they're healthy too. They're low in sugar, low in calories, high in protein, high in fiber. All you got to do is head over to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your next order. Again, I highly recommend it. Get the coconut brownie chunk. It won the March Madness bracket last month. It's as the top flavor at Built Bar, and you can do so by using that promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. So now, guys, we're going to jump into my conversation with Tariq Thompson, the San Diego State safety, who is potentially on the Falcons' radar on day three, as well as several other NFL teams. So, guys, I am joined today by San Diego State safety and prospective 2021 NFL draft pick Tariq Thompson, who, of course, has an illustrious career over his 4 years with the Aztecs, starting 47 games, being honored as a four-time All-Mountain West Conference team player, and earned freshman All-American honors as a true freshman all the way back in 2017. Tariq, thanks for coming on, and welcome to Locked On Falcons.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on.
Now, Tariq, let's get right into it. I've been told that the Falcons are one of the teams that's shown interest in you this offseason. How has that gone?
I went well. I have a great relationship with the secondary coach there. Family ties, so I kind of know him from my safety coach at San Diego State. And just heard a lot of great things about him. And he's been in the league for a long time. And, yeah, we had a great conversation.
Now, one of the things I thought that stood out about you when I was watching you play at San Diego State was how good in coverage you were. Your on-ball production, I think, speaks to that. You had 35 career pass breakups, 12 interceptions. Has that been some of the feedback that you've gotten from NFL teams about one of your better aspects of your game?
Oh, yeah. I heard a lot about that. The big thing for me is my versatility. I feel like I could play anywhere in the secondary or outside backer or something like that, or special teams if need be. I'm going to do any of those things, and that's what the consensus is. I'm just willing to do whatever.
You know, have you gotten any feedback from teams about, in terms of exact role that you want to play? You mentioned your versatility. Has they've been looking at you more as a coverage safety, single high, playing in the box? Is there one area that you feel a little bit more comfortable?
I feel comfortable in all areas. That's why I feel like one of my strengths is I can do whatever a team asks me to. I kind of consider myself a jack of all trades because at San Diego State, I kind of played nickel, free safety, one high, cover two, in the box, blitz off the edge, like all these different positions and certain roles that I've had to do, I feel like prepared me for the next level.
Now, you got a couple of teammates that are prospective NFL draft picks this weekend as well, Darren Hall and Dwayne Johnson. I'm curious, you know, among you guys, who was sort of the leader in that talented secondary?
I feel like we're all leaders. I mean, we don't really step on each other's feet. I mean, we all had a lot of experience on the field together. So we really, you know, we're just a unit. We had two other guys, Trent Thompson and Taylor Hodgkins, that, you know, that we're very comfortable with each other. We've been on the field for a while. We know each other well off the field. We're like brothers. Darren Hall's going to have a great career in the NFL. Whoever gets him, going to get a stud who loves playing football. Dwayne Johnson, the same way. He's a jack of all trades as well. Can play backer, safety, whatever you need them to do. Those guys are both smart football players, and they are willing to make plays and sacrifice their body.
Now, San Diego State's put a couple of defensive backs in recent memory into the NFL. The Falcon fans listening are very familiar with DeMonte Casey, who was your predecessor there at San Diego State. There's other former teammates like Luke Barku and Cameron Kelly that have also made the jump to the pros. You know, what's been some of the advice that you've gotten from some of your ex-teammates about trying to make this transition to the next level?
Film. Just studying film. The game is so fast, so every advantage you can get, like tendency-wise and stuff like that, take advantage of it because everybody's a great athlete. The game is quicker. Everybody's faster. And, you know, it's a mental game. As much as it's physical, it's mental. So, you know, get on that film, stay in that playbook, and just don't let – be confident because, you know, sometimes you can get mentally psych yourself out and not make plays or stuff like that and let one play get to you or stuff like that. So, you know, just being positive and, you know, just studying the game.
Now, you know, on the mental side of things, one thing that stood out to me, I mentioned that you were freshman All-American. You were quickly able to impact on the football field the minute you stepped on campus at San Diego State as a true freshman, getting 5 interceptions, starting 13 games. What were some of the things that you had that you developed that helped you make that quick leap and make that transition from going from high school to the college game? And do you feel like those things can help you make the transition from going from the college game to the NFL game?
Oh, definitely. What I try to say is my best ability is my intelligence. I see things very quickly. I can diagnose routes, run plays, patterns, and stuff like that. So I know how to put myself in a position to succeed. And I mean, the tape speaks for itself. Certain plays where I can, you see me pointing out stuff and it happens, or just stuff where I put myself in position to make plays. Like my freshman year, like you said, I had 5 picks. I want to say almost every one of those picks were me watching a play from film and just taking it to the game. And, you know, I've just been blessed to be in this position, and hopefully I continue to play this game at this next level.
You talk about your intelligence. You know, the other thing that stood out to me was your discipline. I saw a stat that you only committed 3 penalties and over 3,000 snaps at San Diego State. Like, what do you owe that incredible discipline?
My coaches. And the sad part is I was all in one game, so I was kind of upset about that. I feel like the refs are picking on me that game. I mean, it is what it is, but my coaches did a great job. You know, they're still not holding and, you know, getting your hands off the receivers. And, you know, you can't hold, can't push a receiver. You know, you got to be disciplined with your eyes, your hips, and your feet. And, you know, targeting is a very important issue in college football. I feel like the rules should be a little bit different just because, you know, kicking kids out of games and stuff like that. But that's another story. But they taught us how to, you know, get our head out the way, you know, make sure the safety of ourselves and the opponent are out of the way so you can, you know, play a healthy game of football, you know, compete, be physical.
Now, I know you're probably a little anxious to see, you know, where you might wind up going this weekend. Sort of at this point in time in the calendar year, what are some of the things that you're doing in this pre-draft process as you wait these next couple of days until the draft?
I'm working out 2 times a day, running to get my conditioning stuff like up, and like doing defensive back stuff. And then I do like a strength session, strength and mobility. You know, you can never be flexible enough. Just trying to make sure that, you know, my weaknesses turn into strengths, whether that's, you know, like hip mobility or stuff like that. You know, just make sure I'm fluid in my back pedal, opening up, you know, being able to get low and tackle people, stuff like that. And just work on my speed because you can never be fast enough. And being able to change direction is something that I feel like I can do very well. And that's something that, you know, if you can do that in the league, you can do a lot of things well.
Well, obviously, you know, you're pretty busy doing all those workouts and working on your game, but I'm sure you got some downtime every now and then. What are some of the things that you like to do when you're not necessarily focused on football?
I'm a competitor, so whatever I compete in, whether that's cards, video games, swimming. I wish I could play basketball, but I can't, you know, just trying to stay healthy and, you know, trying to avoid any risk of that. So, yeah, I like competing. So whether it's racing, like running, like stuff like that. Anything you can do without, you know, getting hurt or doing something stupid, or, you know, I'm just trying to stay out of trouble and, you know, just have fun and just, you know, enjoy myself before it's time to get back to work.
Now, I'm not a big video game guy, but any particular games that you enjoy?
The sports games. I love basketball. So, you know, NBA 2K. I'm a big Madden fan. Hopefully they update the game a little bit so I can enjoy it more. And hopefully they don't do my rating too bad this year. But, yeah, the sports games, I like Fortnite a little bit, you know. I like the creativity. And there's a game called Fall Guys. It's kind of like Wipeout, but, you know, I love that game a lot because different maps and, you know, I'm a creative guy, so I like doing new things.
Now, you talk about that competitive nature. The Falcons have been known to have a very competitive ping pong session in the past with some of their top players. You know, Julio Jones is known for his excellent ping pong game. Do you feel like you could hold your own with Julio Jones as well on the football field, as well as the ping pong table?
Oh, no doubt. That's something that I got to work on, but I feel like I can compete, you know. I feel like I'm pretty good at it, so. If that happens, I'm excited to see it happen.
Okay, well, we'll be rooting for you, Tariq, and I appreciate you joining me today on Locked On Falcons. Good luck to you this weekend. I hope you get this sort of once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, hear your name called. Whether you do or you don't, certainly think you have a bright future at the next level, at least based off of what I've seen from you on the football field, and I want to wish you good luck, and regardless of where you wind up, but maybe that's in Atlanta, and should that be the case, maybe get an opportunity to talk with you again this summer, maybe give us an update on how things are going with you. Does that sound good?
That sounds great. Thanks for having me on. Hopefully, you know, my name is called, but whether that happens or not, it's all good. I'm just excited for the next opportunity I get.
Yeah, definitely. We'll be rooting for you wherever you wind up going. And if that's in Atlanta again, it would be a great opportunity. And certainly you'll be an asset to the Atlanta Falcons or whichever team winds up picking you up. So, Tariq, again, appreciate you coming on. Have a good one.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
All right, guys, there you have it. Tariq Thompson, San Diego State safety. Hopefully he gets to hear his name called later today, as many of you are listening to this on day three of the draft, but certainly a guy that I think has a bright future at the next level. And maybe that is in Atlanta. We'll have to sort of see. Certainly, I think if, you know, he was to be a 6th or 7th round pick for the Falcons, I'd be like, hey, I kind of like that pick. But tomorrow's episode of Locked On Falcons, we will be doing our day three review. We will be able to sort of look back at all 3 days to sort of see what the Falcons were able to get in their haul. But we'll probably primarily focus on the day three prospects, and it will be, I have a lot of guys to talk about, 6 potential picks, possibly more if the Falcons decide to trade back a couple of times and hopefully fill out some more spots on their roster, and we'll see what happens. I think we could see a number of defensive players taken on day three, so certainly I could see the Falcons filling out all 3 levels of their defense. They need bodies, you know, edge rusher, linebacker, nose tackle, defensive end, corner, safety. They could use it running back on offense. You know, I think they're pretty good rest of the position. Maybe you see a wide receiver, but I think adding Patterson means that you don't necessarily need to prioritize that. Obviously, they got the tight end. I don't think you necessarily need another offensive lineman, but look, it wouldn't hurt. Certainly, if you listen to me talk about Jalen Mayfield, you certainly might think that they could use additional help there. So we'll see what the Falcons do on day three to wrap up this 2021 NFL draft. Guys, appreciate it if you want to provide your feedback to me on anything I talked about on today's episode, anything you want me to talk about on a future episode, any thoughts, you know, send me the hate mail on why I'm wrong on Jalen Mayfield. You know, again, not to rehash it, I'm looking at all these rankings that have him in like in the 50s and 60s, and I'm just like, I do not see that type of player. I think just people are just betting on the upside, given that he's relatively inexperienced, and just saying, hey, you know, he's going to be so much better when he's 24 than when he is 20 at this current time. So maybe those people see something I don't see. But yeah, I would say, you know, provide that feedback. You can hit me up on Locked On Falcons on Twitter, Locked On Falcons on Facebook, or LockedOnFalcons@mail.com is the email address. So appreciate it, guys. Hope you're enjoying your weekend. And yeah, talk to you later.